When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me is Charles W. Chuck Bryant. We're a couple of writers for HowStuffWorks.com. When we sit down in front of these mics, though, it becomes Stuff You Should Know.
We tear open our shirts, and there's a big SYSK on our chest, tattooed.
That's exactly right, Chuck. Chuck.
Yes.
You ever jumped off a cliff?
I have indeed.
You have?
Yeah, the rock quarry in Sparta. Do you ever go there?
No.
I've jumped off of that one. That was pretty high.
There's a rock quarry in Toledo that I never went to. Actually, it was in White House, Whitehall, Bowling Green, somewhere around there.
Uh-huh.
I never went. My dad was certified as a scuba diver there, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they put something in a bus that was sunken at the bottom of it, and he had to go get it out to prove that he could, in fact, scuba dive.
Wow.
Yeah, sounds creepy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I myself have never jumped off a cliff.
I love it.
Is it thrilling?
Yeah, it's fun.
How high was it?
I think I'm probably overstating it, like everyone probably does when they do this kind of thing. But it seemed like it was probably about 40 or 50 feet.
Wow.
It was high.
Yeah, that is high.
And actually, there's a place at the Chattahoochee that I used to do it too, but that was like 30 feet, 25 feet.
Well, Chuck, you have a hairier chest than I do, because I've never jumped off a cliff. But I have been to Acapulco before.
Oh, you got me there.
Have you? Did you read about these guys?
Oh, yeah, the La Quebrada. Nice. Divers?
Nice. I think it's nice that you bring that extra accent. You don't have to bring an accent, and you do anyway.
That French dude emailed us this week, and he said he appreciated it.
Oh, nice.
With my French.
Like, impression. De plan.
Yeah. He's like, I'm totally wrong, but he thought it was funny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, La Quebrada.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. These guys are jumping off of the highest cliffs that anybody routinely jumps off of in
the
world.
It?
I did.
Oh, I didn't know you had actually witnessed the performance.
Yeah. I mean, you can't go to Acapulco and not see it. I believe it's daily.
Right.
Except maybe Sundays, but I could just be making that up. But the guys, they jump off something like, I think, 148-foot cliffs.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Which, what is that in meters, Chuck?
Josh, that would be about 45 meters.
Okay, nice. Thanks for that. You're just a walking calculator, you know that?
Well, it's written right in front of me.
this is an enormous cliff. This is, what, a 14-story building? Isn't a story like 10 feet?
I think so.
Yeah, so they're jumping off of 14-story buildings into waters. It's like a little inlet, and they're on one side, and then you're on the other with railing, so you don't try jumping off.
Right.
And then these guys just start jumping. There's like 10, 15 of them.
Wow.
And they do it every night. And actually, it was started by a 13-year-old boy back in 1934.
Yeah, that's what I hear. And I will pronounce his name as Enrique Epac Rios.
Very, very nice. So this little boy started this tourist attraction.
Right.
And what has arguably become one of the cooler extreme sports as well.
Oh, heck yeah.
But the story goes back further than that, correct?
Yeah, but I just want to point out we're on the 15th floor. So this is ballpark within about 10 or 15 feet of where those guys are.
Let's go look out the window.
Are we really doing this? Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and that's high.
Jerry's giggling. She's either going to cut that out or leave it in.
Yeah,
one of the
we'll
two.
Find out, right? That is very high.
That is real high.
Yeah, and I mean, we would have jumped onto the street had we just jumped out. Plus, it would have been an extra 10 feet. This is water, but I'm telling you, there's like boulders at the bottom. There's waves breaking. It's an inlet at the ocean.
Yeah, and that's part of the trick is to time it with the water coming in and out, and then obviously mine the boulders. And because, you know, you clearly don't want to, like, jump into a boulder.
Right.
But what I also noticed in this article that if you hit, like, a fish, that could be bad news.
Right, yeah. And we'll get into the physics of cliff diving soon. But,
yes.
Like I said, where do we find the beginning? This is one of those rare pieces of world culture.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody does it everywhere. Anywhere there's cliff divers pretty much.
Yeah.
But this is one of those rare pieces that you can go back and be like, this guy actually started it. I don't think this is the first guy. I would say he's probably the first guy in recorded history.
Yeah.
Do you want to take his name?
Yes. I'm going to go with King Kahikili.
Nice.
Kahikili of Hawaii. He was the last king of Maui. And in 1770, he reportedly jumped from... let's see, this is where I get in trouble. Kawanulu?
I think that's pretty much how I would
say it. Hawaiian words are
in
really
my, in
that's
my
tough.
Head, I can pronounce it better than that, but once it goes through the tongue, you know what happens, Chuck.
That was about 63 feet, and he entered the water, didn't make much of a splash, so he earned the name Birdman, and then apparently would challenge his warriors to prove their bravery by doing the same.
Right.
So that's where it started. At least that's what the lore says.
And I can imagine, you know, his people calling him Birdman and him going, no, it's Kahikili. King Kahikili, actually.
To you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, actually, every night at the Sheraton Maui,
yeah,
they reenact this thing.
Uh-huh.
They have some guy go up to the top of a cliff.
Yeah.
I guess the very cliff he jumped off of, right?
I think so.
In a loincloth.
Mm-hmm.
And jump into the water. And the reason he jumped into the water was because this is where the Mauis, yeah, right?
Mauians?
Sure. where they believe that souls transferred into the next world through.
Yeah, the spirit world.
And I guess he was like, let's see what the hell happens.
Right. So now they reenact it with the loincloth dude, and he offers up in each direction to the sky an offering. He has the lei,
mm-hmm,
and then a torch. And then he'll jump in.
Right. And when he jumped in, absolutely no one outside of the greater Maui area had a clue. But many years later, the cliff diving concept really started to take off. Thanks to Timex and ABC, correct?
Uh-huh.
So Timex, back in the late 50s, Timex used to like to show off the impact resistance that their watches could boast.
Yeah, I remember the, and I was about to say I remembered this one when
I
was reading it.
Do you remember when it first broadcast?
Well, it was the 1950s, so clearly I didn't. But they ran this campaign through the 70s because I remember the takes a lick and keeps on ticking thing.
That's right, yeah, that's what that was the tagline, right?
Yeah. So for this commercial, though, they jumped in John Cameron Swayze. What, I don't think any relation to Patrick, is he?
I was wondering the same thing, actually.
I have to look that up.
Okay.
He hosted this commercial, and right, they give a torture test.
Right. No, he didn't actually jump in.
No.
He
no.
was just like, check this guy out.
Right, exactly.
And they had some cliff diver jump in fist first with the Timex, like, uh-huh, exposed.
On
so
his,
it was the
yeah.
first thing that hit the water.
Yep.
And I imagine that after a few takes, he eventually didn't break the watch.
Right.
And they were like, look what happened.
Right, so, exactly. Yeah.
So that was the late 50s. And then really, cliff diving took off.
Uh-huh.
If you'll excuse me, in, I think, March 9th, 1968?
Yes, it took the leap in 1968. So bad.
Yeah.
With the ABC's Wide World of Sports.
Which was a great concept, man.
They'd I love
that
show.
They go all over the place. They'd show the craziest stuff. This is long before anybody ever thought of the X Games or anything like that.
Uh-huh.
Like, they just were like, these people are engaged in some random sport, and we're going to broadcast it, by God.
Yeah, I love that show.
Yeah.
The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat.
Yeah, remember and that? Lumberjacks.
The guy, that skier that had that awful accident was always the agony of defeat.
I don't remember that guy. Was it in the intro?
Yeah, and then when they said that, it showed this skier had this just awful crash and flipping over and, like, breaking every bone in his body.
Did he die?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
He lived. He walked away.
Okay.
Is what I say.
And then here we are today, actually, Chuck, I think about 4 weeks away from the 2010 Red Bull Cliff Diving World Championships.
Yeah, the World Series.
By the time this is published, it'll probably be within a couple of days. But it's May 15th,
uh-huh.
if you're interested in going to France
yeah.
to watch it. Right?
They jump off platforms, though. But it's at a cliff still.
Right, but on the site, I was checking out some Frenchmen who were cliff diving. And they went to this old early 19th century fort that Napoleon had built off the coast of France in the Atlantic.
Cool.
And it's, I think, 20 meters high, which places it around 60 feet.
Okay.
And
meters first, huh?
Huh?
Meters first?
Well, it's in France. I just thought I'd give like a little head nod, you know, like, hey, France.
Yes.
Yeah. And these guys were just jumping off this old stone fortress in the middle of the Atlantic. It's pretty cool. Well, I don't want to say the middle of the Atlantic. It's actually right off the coast, but
right, sure.
It's surrounded by water.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, I saw that picture. I didn't know what was going on there.
That's what was going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mystery solved.
Yeah.
Is it physics time? This is your bag. Actually, I understood. It's really not that complicated.
No.
It's gravity.
It's free fall physics.
Yeah.
Is what we're talking about.
Sure.
Chuck, when you walked in here to sit down and contribute your fine half to this podcast, you were being pulled toward the earth by gravity.
Yes.
But you were also meeting resistance from the ground, which caused friction.
Yeah.
Had you actually walked off a cliff on the way in here,
that'd be sad.
You would have still been pulled by gravity,
uh-huh.
but there wouldn't be any resistance from the force of friction, right?
Which makes it free fall, right?
Which does make it free fall, which Galileo was the first to figure this out. Free fall physics. When you are pulled toward the earth by gravity,
mm-hmm.
you're actually pulled at 9.8 meters per second per second. And the reason that extra per second is there
uh-huh.
is because for every second that you're in the air falling at that rate,
right.
you're increasing in speed. So you go 9.8 meters per second to what? 19.6 meters per second?
Okay.
And then so on. So every second you double your speed. Your velocity, the velocity is constant, but the speed can increase given
right.
time.
But the acceleration is constant, right?
That's what velocity. It is. Yeah, I'm sorry. The acceleration is yeah. constant, but your speed, your velocity can actually increase, right?
Yes.
Given time. Now, in the case of cliff diving, the height of the cliff
uh-huh.
is pretty much interchangeable with time. The higher the cliff, the more time you're going to be in the air and the
sure.
faster you go.
Right, right.
Right? So when you jump off, I think, a 10-foot cliff.
Yeah.
How fast are you traveling?
That's not much of a cliff. We call that a rock.
Yeah, pretty much.
About 17 miles an hour.
Right. But if you jump off a 50-foot cliff, like you were jumping off of in the quarry, say,
yeah.
we'll say 50 from now on.
Sure.
That goes up to what?
38.
38 miles an hour.
That's cruising.
Right. Now, the problem is when you hit the water, you encounter that force of friction again.
Yeah, big
and,
time.
And your velocity goes from its maximum speed to almost zero, almost instantaneously.
Yeah, it's like a second, right?
Right. Now we've encountered why cliff diving is dangerous, because eventually
exactly.
you're going to land on something.
Yeah. And, you know, before we move on from physics, I just thought it was interesting that when you do jump out, or if you get a running start, you're going to go even faster than
right.
if you just drop.
You've added horizontal velocity.
Right.
Or horizontal force. I am definitely not a physics guy.
You had it right. Velocity.
Thanks, buddy. One of the cool aspects of free fall physics, as far as it relates to humans, also, Chuck, get this. Do you remember learning like a long time ago that no matter what the mass of an object, it'll fall at the same rate?
Oh, yeah. Galileo again, right?
That is Galileo, yeah. And he actually disproved Aristotle with that one.
Some say they're both geniuses.
They both are. did we mention them in the Genius Podcast?
Well,
was
we are
it
now.
On that list of 50 that you,
I don't know.
That ended in George Washington?
Right.
You might say that I've dropped a piece of paper and a hammer
right.
at the same time, and the piece of paper took longer. That's because it met resistance from the air.
Yeah, exactly.
And actually, Commander David Scott of uh-huh. the Apollo 15 mission famously took a hammer and I think a feather on the moon and dropped
oh, yeah,
them,
yeah.
and they both landed at the same time.
That
they
must have been cool looking.
Yeah. There's video of it on YouTube, actually.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
But I'm almost done with my physics spiel, okay?
Okay.
And it ends as such.
Let's hear it.
When you jump off a cliff, remember you're not meeting friction any longer.
Yeah.
So there's no resistance besides this negligible air resistance.
Right.
You actually do encounter what we would consider on Earth as close to weightlessness as we can get.
Right.
Uh-huh. So your body is being pulled as a whole by gravity equally, all parts, except for your internal organs, right?
Whoa.
Which actually lose weight and rise up in your chest, which is why your stomach feels like it's coming up.
Is that what that is?
It actually is.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
I've always wondered what that was.
That's what it is.
Goodness me.
All right. We're done with the physics part. Dude.
Yeah. Well, 2 to 3 G's, we should say. Like at the World Championships, they hit about 2 to 3 G's, and those dudes are going at speeds up to 60 miles an hour.
That's fast.
That's really fast to be hitting the water.
Yes.
And you want to, since we're at the water entry point, which is, I think, where we left off with the physics, you want to go in really, really, really straight. That's the key. Because if you flatten out, it is the room, you know, you hear the legend about it's like hitting concrete.
Yeah.
It is like hitting concrete.
Right.
And you would die.
Yes, you would.
Or, you know, not be the same person afterward, at the very least.
There's a website by a woman, a Quebecan named Patricia, I think her name is, who's created this website dedicated to warning people about a famous tourist cliff diving site called Rick's Cafe in Negril, Jamaica.
Yeah, that's only 35 feet, though.
It is, but this woman jumped off this 35-foot platform.
And did she belly flopped?
She couldn't have gone in feet first. Because
right.
This is what happened to her is she suffered a broken spine,
wow,
broken sternum, displaced diaphragm, which is never good. And
did she look in her purse?
And terrible.
Sorry.
And posterior vitreous detachment, which means the jelly in her eye is loose now.
Oh, man.
A 30-foot jump.
Well, the deal there, though, at the cafe is they have it set up with a platform, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to sign a waiver or anything?
I don't know. I think if you were a smart owner of Rick's Cafe and you were encouraging tourists to jump off the platform, yeah, you would have them sign away their firstborn child.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they do say in here, though, that official tourism boards don't encourage this.
Because it's dangerous.
Yeah, it's really dangerous.
Yeah, and we should also probably take the time to COA and tell you that we don't encourage you to cliff dive either.
No.
No.
I mean, a 10-foot rock is one thing, but even then, if you land on another rock, there's a lot of people.
Or, like you said, a fish.
Yeah, a fish.
If you're traveling 60 miles an hour and you hit a fish, it's not as, let's say, liquid as a water, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Although it will be after you hit it at 60 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's bad news for the fish, too. Yeah.
So, Chuck, in addition to Rick's Cafe and Negril, what are some of the other well-known cliff diving locations?
Hot spots, Josh?
That's one way to put it.
Well, I know Jamaica, the West End Cliffs in Negril.
Mm-hmm. That's where Rick's is.
Is it? Yeah. They have the limestone cliffs. Those are really popular.
Sure, and pretty.
I imagine.
So there's two phrases or terms that the Hawaiians use depending on whether you make a splash or not with a big jump. So, lili kawa.
That sounds right.
Thanks. That's to leap from a great height and enter the water without a splash, which we should say is what King Kahikili did.
Kahikili.
Kahikili. Yeah, I think that's right. Is that the name of the idol that the Brady kids found in that episode where they went to Hawaii, the two-parter?
Wasn't
it Kahikili?
I don't know. Those were great episodes, though.
They really were.
Debbie would know that. My friend Debbie would know.
Well, tell her to write in.
Okay.
Okay. The other expression is lele pahu.
That sounds right, too.
Thanks, man. That's entering the water with a big splash from a great jump.
And that's a bad thing, right?
Yeah.
Just like competition
diving.
Well,
I'll just do a cannonball. Yeah, well,
sure.
say so long to your shins.
Yeah, exactly.
So we've got Hawaii. Acapulco, again, the La Quebrada divers. Mm-hmm. Seriously, they're jumping off of 147-foot cliffs, right? The next highest that I've seen, that I've seen in this article, is in Croatia, in Dubrovnik.
Yeah.
And those are 85 feet.
Right. And that's about the height that they do the competition dives. They don't do competition dives from 148 feet.
Right.
Because they're doing flips and twists. Actually, I got some stuff on that. But they're not just diving in.
Right.
They go in feet first, generally.
Oh, really?
Well, for the competition, I haven't seen many of those guys go in head first.
dude, the guys in Acapulco do flips in midair and dive in. Like, it's not just jumping off of a cliff. Like, these, and they'll do it like several at a time. That's, it's amazing.
Well, yeah, I did see on YouTube a tandem dive or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, this, cool. This is multiple. Also, if you ever get a chance to go to Acapulco, I wouldn't recommend going now, what with the raging drug war in Mexico, but
sure.
If that ever dies down and you do get to go to Acapulco, do go see the cliff divers.
I think that's a great move.
Thanks.
Or if you can't go there, just go to YouTube. You can check it out there. Check out some awfully bad video. The World High Diving Federation, Josh, they recommend water depths of 43 to 49 feet for a dive of 65 feet or less. And they also recommend that no one dive from 65 feet or higher unless you're a pro and you have, like, scuba divers down there to retrieve your lifeless body.
Right. Or at least your shattered body.
Exactly.
Okay, Chuck, let's say somebody out there is going to try this whether we tell them to or not. And let's just do it again. Let's just tell them not to cliff dive.
Okay, don't cliff dive.
Thank you, Chuck. If they're going to do it anyway, should we give them some safety tips?
Yes, Josh, we have some tips. The first one on the list, slow and low. Don't charge out there to the 60-foot cliff right off the bat. Start on the 10-footer.
Mm-hmm. Slow and low, that is the tempo.
You want to check out, very nice, you want to check out the water beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
Swim around down there at your landing zone.
Scare off any fish you can.
Scare off any fish.
Maybe kinda pee in the water to ward them away.
Right. Feel around for rocks and things.
Yeah.
Barnacles.
Yeah.
Underwater spears.
Sure.
Anything like that.
Right.
You go with a friend is always a good idea. You don't want to cliff dive by yourself.
No. You're a dummy. You might as well dig your own grave and lie in it and start shoveling dirt over yourself.
They recommend to wear a wetsuit because it can add a little cushioning. But if you've ever seen cliff divers, they generally wear the Speedo.
I know, which makes it one of the sexiest extreme sports around. You don't see Tony Hawk in a Speedo, do you? No.
Wow. I'm trying to imagine skateboarding with a Speedo.
I'm sure somebody's done it. Probably those crazy kids at Jackass or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that one guy always wears his underwear.
Mm-hmm.
We need to talk about Orlando Duque, though. He's like the king daddy of cliff diving.
Mm-hmm. He's Il Duque.
No, actually, they call him the Duke of Dive, so yeah. You're not far away. He's Colombian, but he lives in Hawaii now. He's 9-time world champ.
Wow.
And his personal record in competition is 111 feet, and he holds the record for the perfect dive. He's the only guy to ever get judged to get scored a perfect dive.
Nice.
Across the board. And
do they factor in how you look in a Speedo into that score?
Yeah, he's a handsome man.
Is he?
Yeah, he is. He wanted to be a high diver for Columbia, but they didn't, like an Olympic high diver, but they wouldn't fund him. So he was like, okay, I go dive off cliffs and perform in shows.
Right.
So he makes a lot more scratch doing this, I'm sure, than he would have as an Olympian.
I'd like to mention somebody.
Who's that?
His name is Di Huan Ran. He's Chinese, if you couldn't guess.
Okay.
He's 51, and he actually holds the world record that he set in 2008 for cliff diving off of waterfalls.
Wow.
I want you to think about this for a second.
Okay.
In most cases with waterfalls, there are rocks at the bottom, and there's a little something that we like to call a vortex.
Yes.
This is a swirling funnel of water, underwater, that sucks you in and holds you there.
Wow.
This guy aims for the center.
Does that make sense?
Apparently, because he's survived.
It would soften the fall, though, probably, right?
I have no idea why he jumps into the center. He just does.
Wow.
Yeah.
How high?
The 12.19 meters.
So what's that?
It's like 45, 50 feet.
Oh, that's not that much.
It isn't, but he's jumping into a vortex, for God's sake.
Right.
And he's 51.
Yeah. There's high divers, too. That's a different deal. Like the show people, the high diving show people.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a cliff thing situation, obviously. But they, I think the world record is a dude named Oliver Favre, 178 feet.
Wow.
And
what did he jump into?
They jump into those pools.
Like a little cup,
yeah.
Riding an elephant.
In the cartoon.
Yeah.
And the previous guy, I can't remember what his name was, but I saw it on YouTube. It was in the 70s, and I remember watching this when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And it might have been on Wide World of Sports, but it showed, Dana something. And it had the camera view of his little platform up there, and it was crazy, man. I mean, I got like butterflies watching it in my cubicle.
Yeah, over I can here. Imagine.
I guess, wait, there was one more thing I wanted to say.
What?
Competition.
Mm-hmm.
The Red Bull deal.
Yeah.
You get three heats per competition, and you're judged on drop, position in the air, and dive, which means, you know, your flips. There's three things you can get scored on. Number of twists, somersaults, and position during the somersaults, and then entry into the water. So sort of like regular Olympic diving, the way that's scored, but just much higher.
And they call them heats because of the Speedos.
I think you might be right.
If you want to learn more about cliff diving, just type cliff diving in the handy search bar at howstuffworks.com, which means we've arrived now, friends, at listener mail. Chuck, Chuck, Chuck. Chuck, Chuck, Chuck.
Handbrake.
Yes. We should just do the Facebook Twitter thing real quick. Facebook, we have a great streamlined Facebook page that's Stuff You Should Know.
Uh-huh.
You can type that in the search bar at Facebook.
Yes.
We also tweet now.
We do.
That's SYSK Podcast.
Yes. On Facebook, though, I should mention, we have some fan art already there. And if you have like cool fan art and stuff you've done, upload it, because we want to get all kinds of stuff for people to look at. We want it to be more than just you and I running our mouths, because that's all we ever do.
Yes, that's right.
So get involved.
And you're going to be releasing t-shirt details eventually?
Eventually.
Okay. We'll look for those on our Facebook page, right?
Yes.
So back to it, beautiful.
Josh, I'm going to call this Hinky Email.
Oh, I saw this one.
This was nice.
Yeah.
I like it when people have weird dreams about us. Hello, Josh and Chuck and Jerry. Yesterday, I was going to email you to tell you that due to listening to your podcast on my daily commute, I have begun to describe things as hinky instead of dodgy. She's from the UK.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Which is the word I would usually use. This means that whenever I use it, I have to explain what it means. It's not a widely word used in the UK, as it seems. Hinky's not.
Right. Dodgy is, though.
Dodgy is. This ends up in me recommending your podcast to a lot of people. So she's actually spreading the word.
Nice.
Thanks to the hinky thing. Then I thought, it's not that exciting of a story, so I decided not to send the email. But last night, I had a dream about you guys. I dreamt I bumped into Josh at a beach bar, which she says she's never been to a beach bar, and she has no idea where it was. I told him the hinky story, and then behind him, he pointed to a big sign that said hinky. Then he told me a lot of things Chuck does rubs off on people, and he proceeded to show me a bear snarl, complete with swiping paw action. So I took this as a sign that I should probably send the email. I just think that's hysterical.
That was clearly a sign.
Yeah, I want to see you do the bear snarl with a swiping paw. Wow, that's nice.
Thanks.
The dream was by far the most normal dream I had last night, by the way. I also dreamt I got married by postal marriage. I didn't know there was such a thing.
Well, yeah, mail order brides.
Is that what she means?
Maybe.
Okay. Anyway, I hope that you take some pride in the fact that you were spreading the word hinky around the world, from Rachel X.
Okay, thanks for that, Rachel. All right, Chuck?
Right.
That was a good one?
It was.
We always like it when we're factored into dreams, right?
Sure.
That's just cool.
It is.
Especially, I mean, consider that. We have people who we've never met dreaming about us.
I dream about people I've never met.
I guess so.
I have celebrity dreams all the time. I've told you about those.
Yes.
Where I'm like hanging out and I'm like buddies with people I love.
If you ever had a dream about Chuck palling around with a celebrity he's never met, we want to hear about it, even if you make it up. Put it in an email and send it to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Want more How Stuff Works? Check out our blogs on the howstuffworks.com homepage.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, if you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon as low as $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Use promo code STUFF 20 to receive $20 off your first month for listening to this podcast. Switch now at Visible.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. The Visible monthly rate is $25 per month.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.